Welcome to Witchy Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Danae Sweet, where we talk about the witchy, the metaphysical, the spiritual, and really anything else I really want to talk about. Okay, so today I have a very different kind of episode. I'm sure everybody knows what's going on in the U.S. right now as far as women and reproductive rights, and I have felt sad and angry and confused, frustrated, fearful, and really just overwhelmed the last couple weeks. I meditate and I feel the collective emotions surrounding what's going on in the U.S. And as an empath and human with a uterus, I really feel backed into a corner right now with all the extreme emotions from everyone involved, including myself. If I stop grounding, if I stop centering just for a moment, it feels like a wave of shitty emotions just come over me. And I know that is our collective. That's the collective emotions that are swirling around in our plane right now because of what's going on. From all opposing views, from like views, from all of this, it's stirring up so much freaking emotion. I don't know. It just feels like if I don't talk about it, I'm not going to be myself. And on one hand, I feel like I should just shut my mouth and keep my opinions to myself so I don't piss off friends and family. And actually, you guys, I don't want to piss off any listeners. I value you. And on the other hand, things don't change if we silence ourselves for the sake of others. One person even said to me, "What difference will your opinion make anyway? Why say anything to anyone?" They weren't just talking about this podcast. They were like, "Why would you comment on anything on Facebook? Why would you speak to anybody about your opinions in person?" Which is a huge theme in the area that I live in. For fuck's sake, don't rock the boat. You know, that's like their thing. Everybody around here, that's what we're taught when we're small. Shh, don't rock the boat. Be a good little girl. Be quiet. Anyway, that sparked a fire inside me because, God damn it, my opinion matters. Because I have a fucking uterus. My daughter has a fucking uterus. Because if everyone shuts up, nothing changes. Because if it doesn't matter what side of the issue on, if you believe in something, speak the hell up. All of us, if we feel like our rights are being threatened, should feel 100% supported to speak our truth. I realize that this is not the case most generally. I have friends on the other side of the issue, and I do not love them any less. Okay? The he said, she said, your side, my side shit is what's dividing us on all of the issues, not just this one. Let's have a conversation and not an argument. With that being said, I'm going to speak my truth with conviction and without shame from this point forward, because I feel like I've been dragging that shit around with shame and rage and all these other feelings. And you know what? From this point forward, I'm just going to speak my truth because I am valued. I value my opinion. I value my truth. If I can walk the sidewalks of small town Christian USA as a practicing witch and own and operate a business that sells witchy supplies, then I should be able to speak my truth surrounding reproductive rights as well. Don't you think? But for some reason, this is scarier for me. I love my friends. I love my listeners. Being silent and giving you a fluffy episode that completely avoids the issues at hand would not be authentic. I'd be giving you less than you deserve. You take time out of your day to listen to this podcast, and time is valuable, and I appreciate and I recognize that. So, to those of you who may stop listening to me after this episode, or even after this intro at the mention of uterus, thank you for listening up to here. I do appreciate you. I understand if I piss you off, but I do have zero intention of offending anyone. I'm going to do my best to remain factual, and I'm not going to point fingers at any opposing viewpoint or belittle or demean you. Giving you anything less than my 100% authentic self would be cheating you out of what this podcast was meant to give you, right? So let's get this party started. So why would I talk about abortion on a witchy spiritual podcast? Because it affects us spiritually. It really, really does. Take a minute, tune in and feel it. Feel the energy of the collective right now and realize that this issue is tearing us apart and doing so much damage to all of us. Being informed and taking action or not, this is our right. I'll do just a brief overview of what the current status on abortion laws in the U.S. are. Some of the stats, and I'm going to go over what I feel you can do to help the collective heal. What we really need right now is mass healing. I'm scared. I'm scared for my rights. I'm scared for the rights of every uterus now and for every uterus to come. What we really need right now is mass healing. I'm scared. I'm scared for my rights and the rights of every uterus now and every uterus to come. I know others are scared too, and I wanted to share this so that you know you aren't alone. So right now in the U.S., there's been some serious forward motion for some of the states to introduce laws that create stricter abortion laws, going outside the parameters of Roe versus Wade. One state is outlawing it altogether. And here's a rundown of some of the states and their new laws. And I will post a graphic. It's from the New York Times in the blog, so you can see the full list and where they stand at the moment as far as laws go. So far, Alabama is the sole state in banning abortions altogether, leaving zero room for exceptions. Georgia, Mississippi, Kentucky, and Ohio follow with banning of the procedure at 6 weeks of gestation. Arkansas and Utah passed laws that ban it at 18 weeks, and they just passed that recently. And currently, there are three states that have introduced complete bans on abortions besides Alabama, and those are still pending, and they are Oklahoma, Texas, and Missouri. Then there's the Fetal Heart Rate Bill that outlaws abortions as soon as a heartbeat can be detected, which they are declaring is at 6 weeks. And the states currently pending on this are Texas, Louisiana, Minnesota, and New York. States that have had this pass are Georgia, Kentucky, Missouri, Mississippi, and Ohio. And that is the current state of our reproductive rights, the rights of your uterus, as of May 20th, 2019. So, I found an article in the Washington Post. It's a May 17th article, and they say that the legislation makes exceptions only for the health of a mother and for the fetus with fatal anomalies. And they're talking about the Alabama law. And according to a May 17th article from the Washington Post that was talking about the Alabama law on abortion, says that, and I quote, "The legislation makes exceptions only for the health of the mother and for fetuses with, quotes, fatal anomalies that make them unlikely to survive outside the womb. Rape and incest are not exceptions to Alabama's law." End quote. What the fuck? Rape and incest are not exceptions? What the actual fuck? That blows my mind. Why would they not put rape and incest in there? Missouri, who just passed a ban at 8 weeks, also leaves out rape and incest as an exception. I do not understand their logic or their reasoning. It makes me sick to think that, say, a 12-year-old girl gets raped and they have to carry that child. They have to have it. Like, that's sad. I cannot vocalize how hurt that makes me feel for those who will be in that situation. And you cannot say there will be no situations like that. Rape and incest happen a lot. So there's been a ton of information on Facebook about these laws and how they're going to be used to put women in jail for getting an abortion. So I tried to look a lot of this up, and honestly, it was clear as mud. According to that same May 17th article in the Washington Post, they state that women in Alabama cannot be prosecuted, but the doctor can, punishable up to 99 years in jail. Now, the Georgia law is not as clear-cut. There's a lot of different things going on in that one. It does say they have parameters to prosecute doctors who perform abortions outside the new law's 6-week ban. However, putting a woman in jail for abortion was very, whether they can or cannot do it is very unclear, but it was leaning more, what I read was more, yes, a woman could be put in jail for it. And one example is it does allow women to be investigated if they have a miscarriage, forcing them to prove how they lost their baby, which is absolutely awful to make a grieving woman and their family go through that. I cannot imagine. And after I did read an article by Slate.com that I'll also post a link to, it does make it a lot more clear that women are not safe from prosecution if they get an abortion, or even if you use prescription herbs or whatever else to cause a miscarriage. So if you get any kind of medication, if you think you're pregnant and it does whatever that plan B or whatever, that's also something you can go to jail for. And one issue I have with these heartbeat bills is that the time period is only about 2 weeks after a woman misses her period on average. And most don't even know you're pregnant yet. Like, the average person doesn't know they're even pregnant at the time that the cutoff for most of these heartbeat bills happen. And there are all kinds of facts and arguments for when the quote-unquote real heartbeat is heard and when it's just electrical activity and not actually pumping blood. But you can look that up. It's a lot of medical terminology, and it gets blurry at best. So go ahead and Google that. You have the power to Google if you're listening to this podcast. So does – somebody was talking about, well, it's going to help lower abortion rates. It's going to keep people from doing it. No, it won't. In that same Washington Post article, they cite that according to the Guttmacher Institute, a research and policy organization that advocates for abortion rights, countries with total or partial bans have an abortion rate of 37 in 1,000 people, while 34 in 1,000 people have abortions in countries with no restrictions on it. So why are they doing this? They also say that giving them free contraception actually does lower it. Go figure. A study by the Washington University in St. Louis found that in 2012 that giving women free birth control reduces abortion rates by 62 to 78% compared to the national rate. Well, duh. But as we all know, most health insurance won't cover contraception, or will, but covering quote unquote women's issues raises rates considerably. I know this because mine didn't cover anything female reproductive related, not even birth control or a yearly, you know, women's appointment that we have to check out our bits and pieces and make sure we're good. It didn't cover any of it. And if I went to find out what it would take to cover a bunch, to cover that, and just to cover my once a year appointment, it was going to raise my rates by $75 a month to cover one appointment that I would have. So it didn't make any sense to do it. And even if I did that, it didn't cover what I wanted to go do. I wanted the IUD and it didn't cover it. So what's the point? Healthcare for women has so much to do with this issue. That's not a discussion I really need to get into. It would take forever. And again, it's personal. I don't want to get into that too far. Let's also talk about rape. Because this is something that people are throwing out there a ton, that word, when we're talking about abortion. Rape just comes next, right? It's an epidemic. It needs to be addressed. So much is wrong with our country if rape is this prevalent. But again, that's a completely different subject. According to Dean G. Kilpatrick, PhD of the Medical University of South Carolina, in 2000, 683,000 women in the United States are raped each year. Out of that 683,000, 32,101 of those cases result in pregnancy. And that right there, those stats were obtained by the National Institute of Health. Those are old stats. What the fuck is it now, right? That means that 21% of rape victims got pregnant as a result of their trauma, which is very close to the 30% average rate of conception on the first try, according to the article of ABCs of Subfertility, which I will also post. So you're almost as likely to get pregnant from being raped as you are from actually trying to get pregnant with a consensual partner. So much is wrong with those stats. The fact that so many women get raped and the fact that a lot of them deal with resulting pregnancies, holy shit, this is an actual issue, and abortion should 100% be an option for these women at least. I won't even get into the stats on how this affects their mental health and the increased difficulty for them to heal their trauma if they're forced into a pregnancy born out of trauma. Okay, let's talk about incest. Data collected by the FBI in 2012 shows that out of 1,156 incest victims, 394 of those were ages 11 to 15. Holy shit. Did you know that, as cited on WACS, oh boy. Also, research indicates that 46% of children who are raped are victims of family members. According to Psychology Today in 2012 by Hal Herzog, PhD, 40% of fetuses will be born with autosomal recessive disorders, congenital physical malformations, or several intellectual defects. 14% will be born with or develop mild mental disabilities. This article also states that 50% of the offspring who are created in the act of incest will suffer from an early death, severe birth defect of some mental deficiency. How these stats are not a huge red flag and why this is not an exception in the states with these new laws is beyond me. Who the hell is writing these laws? I would love to know. My guess are men funded by some sort of lobbyist for a group that has a shitload of money to create the change that they want. It's really sad when money equals change. Like, that's how the US is run now. That's how you get a law passed. That's how anything gets done in this freaking country right now is money. So let's talk about mortality rates and unsafe abortions. Where do you think these women will go to get an abortion if these extremist laws are in place? They will go to unsafe, unclean facilities and get it done that way. That's the way it was before Roe versus Wade. We cannot go backwards. Worldwide, 42 million women with unintended pregnancies choose abortion. And nearly half of these procedures, 20 million, are unsafe. According to the U.S. National Institutes of Health, this is an issue. The article also states that worldwide, 42 million women with unintended pregnancies choose abortion. And nearly half of these procedures at 20 million are unsafe. This is according to the U.S. National Institute of Health. The article also states that 68,000 women die of unsafe abortions annually, making it the leading causes of maternal mortality. Of the women that survive unsafe abortions, 5 million will suffer long-term health complications. I'll go ahead and I will post that link as well. Those are pretty staggering statistics. I agree. There needs to be some sort of boundaries that we operate within when it comes to abortion. And it isn't clear-cut issue. This isn't a clear-cut issue on either side. Because this is law and government, religion is 100% not supposed to play a factor in this, but it is. Lawmakers and our leaders are using their holy book and their beliefs to write legislation that is cutting the rights of uterus-bearing humans off and liken their rights to that of breeding livestock who have zero rights. Can we just get separation of church and state, please? So, what can we do? What can you do? What can I do? I can't write laws. I cannot, no matter how much I talk about it on a podcast or post about it on Facebook or try to give stats to people. Everybody that's got an opinion about this is coming from a very personal and emotional place. So what do? We need to heal the collective trauma. That's what I'm feeling right now. And I know a lot of you empaths out there have got to be feeling the same thing. I'm tired. I'm exhausted from all this emotion that is being swirled around. each person has a super strong opinion based on their experiences. And these experiences create emotions surrounding their opinion. And a lot of these emotions are fear and anger and shame, big emotions. And we need to address each emotion and go from there. So that's where us as a spiritual community needs to come into play. Let's work on our own fears surrounding this and then offer up love and support to the collective. Because honestly, it's broken. We can influence our immediate social circles the most, right? You can change yourself and create the container for change closest around you. So let's heal ourselves. Heal yourself. Also work on healing your circle. Create a safe space for friends and family to share their experiences and opinions and fears without judgment. We seriously are more powerful in groups. Offer up a tea time for those who are like-minded and need support. Have coffee, hang out, talk about it. I've been meditating a lot, focusing on my own healing, releasing any shame and fear and guilt and resentment, and to be honest, rage surrounding this issue. I've written down my darkest fears and most shameful feelings on this and looked myself right in the eye and told myself, I'm valued, I'm needed in this world, and I am loved. I put myself out there and said to those who need it, I'm here if you want to talk, to vent, or just need a shoulder to cry on. Supporting one another is how we change things. It's how we come together. Being open to listen to where our individual opinions come is imperative. We all just want to be heard and to be understood. When we feel we aren't, we get louder and louder until it's no longer opinion or a conversation. It's a fight and a conflict. And neither side is open to hearing the other side when it gets to that point. I'm going to share some meditations in the blog that I've been doing to help myself deal with all this energy, all the anger, all the emotions that I've been feeling myself and those that I feel from the collective. I've done tons of grounding and centering and letting go. Releasing expectations of others has been a big one for me. I cannot expect someone else with different experiences to feel exactly the same about this as me. And that's not fair of me to expect that of others. And it's not fair of them to expect it of me. So I've been really working on just releasing that. And as you can tell from the tone of my voice and a lot of this, I still have a lot of work to do on that. But I'm trying. I realize that a lot of people that don't have the same opinion that I do and that have strong opinions are coming at this from their faith-based reasons. And I completely can respect that they are faith-based reasons. I understand that that's what makes it such a personal opinion. Is that if you do come from a religious background, then you're backing up your opinion with, you know, the Bible and what it says about things. And I totally get that that's why you're I totally get that's why it's such an important opinion to you. What I would love is for in this country, we could not have religion in our law. It clearly states separation of church and state, but that's not the reality we're living in right now. And I really don't know what the solution is to fix that. But it is what it is, right? So I guess what I'm saying with my hippie ass is that we should all just try to love one another, respect each other's opinions, and have a conversation, because it really does need to be talked about. The laws are very black and white, and this is not a black and white issue. There's a lot of gray area that these laws are not addressing at all. So if we had a conversation, a real conversation, can you imagine what change we could create? Both sides, right? I'm going to share a meditation that I did create to soothe and help heal the collective during this really shitty time in our country. It'll be played right after the music that ends the podcast. So after the ending music, just stay on for a little bit and the meditation will play. Please do not listen to this while you're driving or heavy, operating heavy machinery, or, you know, riding an elephant or a horse or whatever else you may be doing. Also, it kind of sounds cheesy, but let's all light a candle for those who need support. For those women who have been raped, who feel shamed, those who have had an abortion, and for the collective to heal. I'll be lighting one in the shop for the rest of the week that I'll be there. It's a pink one for love, support, and healing. I want to thank my daughter, Madison, for some of the stats. She wrote a freaking amazing speech on abortion, and I shared some of her research with me. So thank you, Maddie. I appreciate that. To anyone that I pissed off or triggered and they won't listen to me anymore, to anyone that I just pissed off and you won't listen anymore, I am truly sorry you feel hurt or triggered or offended. And if you listen to this far while being offended, thanks for listening, even though you don't agree. So anyway, maybe it's just as simple as sticking a status on your Facebook that, hey, if anybody needs to talk or just be heard, you know, I will listen to you. I did that. I don't know if anybody will actually respond to it or need it, but maybe they at least won't feel alone. So if you need to be heard, if you need to vent, if you need someone to listen to and you don't have your own tribe or your own person to listen to you, I do have an email address. I have Facebook. There's a lot of ways you can get a hold of me. And I want you to know that if you are hurting right now, whatever side of the issue you're on, that I will listen to you with an open mind and an open heart, okay? So you can get a hold of me at Danae@DanaeSweet.com. You can PM me through Facebook. Go to the Witchy Woman Podcast. That's Witchy Woman Podcast on Facebook. And you can PM me there. We have a group called Witchy Woman Friends that you can join and be a part of and talk about the episode. You can also see my Instagram account at Witchy Woman Podcast on Instagram. You can DM me there. Or Twitter. It's Danae_sweet_ at Twitter. I guess that's it. I hope you enjoy the meditation afterwards. If anybody has any questions, please contact me. Oh, also I have snail mail. I want to talk about my snail mail. I got my very first snail mail and I am so thankful. I like that made my day. I was having not the greatest day. And, my husband gave me this. He says, this came in the mail today. And I was like, what is that? And it was a card and it was a thank you card from a listener, Heidi B. And I want to say thank you so much. That made my day to read a thank you note, and to hear, all the kind words that you had to say. I really did need that today. So it came in perfect timing and I appreciate it. It will be something I keep in my, I have a memories box that I keep all my special stuff in and that is definitely going in the memory box. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. So I guess I'm so sorry if this was an episode that wasn't near as witchy or informational, but I felt like I needed to, I don't know, I felt called to do it. I really did struggle with whether I was going to do this and anyway, it happened. So, until next time, bye-bye. And now with our meditation, I want to make sure that none of you are driving or operating any heavy machinery while listening to this. Please be in a safe, quiet space where you will not be disturbed and that you feel comfortable in. Okay? So get comfortable. You can be seated or laying down, whatever makes you feel comfortable. Okay? All right. So I want you to close your eyes and focus on your breath for a moment. Feel the air coming in through your nose and into your lungs. Feel how cool the air is coming in and how warm it is coming out. Now take a deep breath through your nose, pushing the air into your belly button. Then releasing it through your mouth. Feeling the tension releasing from your neck and shoulders. Dropping your shoulders as you relax. Take in another deep breath. And releasing it through your mouth as a sigh. Relaxing even more. You feel your body relaxing deeper. As warm golden light comes from right above the top of your head. Down your face, relaxing you, releasing any tension in your facial muscles. This warm, relaxing light spreads down your neck and shoulders, allowing you to feel like a big weight has just been released from your shoulders. You feel even more relaxed. This relaxation spreads down each arm, elbow, down to your wrist, into your hands, and to the tips of each finger. This warm, relaxing light spreads down your back, relaxing each muscle in your back, down through your stomach, to your pelvis, and down each thigh, even deeper, relaxed. It spreads this relaxation to your knees, down each calf, to your ankles, through each foot to the tips of each toe. You are now completely and safely relaxed. Imagine that you find yourself in a beautiful flower garden, and you look around and take in the beauty. The flowers are your favorite types. The colors are vibrant, and the fragrance is amazing. You see a little walking bridge ahead that goes over a slow-moving stream, and you walk toward it. As you walk, you notice it's the perfect temperature. The sun is shining down, and you hear a slight breeze move through the trees. You approach the stream and step onto the bridge. It's not very high. It's a rather short bridge, but it does allow you to have a beautiful view of the stream below. You see colorful fish swimming downstream. You take in a long, deep breath, release it, and walk forward to the other side of the bridge. Here you see a forest and a path, and you walk forward on this path, and you notice that you are barefoot. You feel the soil path beneath your feet and the occasional clump of soft green grass and really enjoy that feeling. You hear the stream winding around the trees beside you and the soft roar of what you think may be a waterfall ahead. You smile and realize it is a beautiful waterfall. You approach it and step into the pool beneath it. That runs into the stream. The water is the perfect temperature and feels refreshing. You step underneath the gentle falls and allow the water to fall over your head. you do this, you feel yourself being cleansed. You are letting go of anything that is no longer serving you. Maybe it's fear, guilt, shame. Maybe it's the expectation of others. Whatever it is, you watch it leave you. It rinses down your body with the water and flows down into the stream and away. You step out of the falls and onto the shore to dry off. As you do this, you want to share this renewal and healing with others. So, you close your eyes and take a deep breath in. And release that breath. You imagine a pink or green light emanating from your heart space. Like a swirling ball of light, it gets larger and larger. It envelops you like a bubble. You push this bubble outward, farther and farther, so that the world, the earth, is now covered with this beautiful, universal, loving energy. And you send that universal love to anyone who needs it. Healing. You are loved, and you can revisit this experience anytime you'd like. So you sit by the pool in peace, listening to the waterfall, the birds around you, enjoying this new feeling of healing and revitalization. To bring your awareness back to your physical body. Notice how your body feels. Notice how it feels sitting or laying on the space that you're in. Wiggle your toes, now your fingers, and when you feel ready, open your eyes.